heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Well, Joe Biden accepted the Democratic nomination for president with an enormously effective speech that blew a hole in President Trump's characterization of the former vice president, says Chris Wallace, Fox News Sunday. So what speech was Chris Wallace watching, I wonder? Chris goes on to say, remember, Donald Trump has been talking for months about Joe Biden as being mentally shot, a captive of the left. Wallace was talking about this and says, and yes, Biden was reading from the teleprompter in a prepared speech, but I thought that he blew a hole, a big hole, in that characterization. Now, you know, there's so much to this. And when we talk about the drip, drip, drip of the media and how they push their narrative out there, and Fox News, for the most part, is really not much different. Certainly Chris Wallace isn't. A lot of the cast of characters over at Fox News fall into the 90 percentile of the entire media existence in how they spin these things. And, you know, the whole Biden speech to me was a complete train wreck. I don't know about you, what you were watching or listening to, but to me, he comes across as a very angry man, one that doesn't have any. Biden has never had any answers. He's never had any solutions. If he did, we would have seen them by now. Remember, this is a man who has failed three times over to run for president before. It's a man who has been very, very ineffective as a legislator. I mean, there's nothing memorable that you say, oh, my God, Joe Biden, that's his thing. I mean, he changed our lives forever. You can't say that about this. I mean, it doesn't exist. It's that simple. So all of a sudden, you know, think about, you know, how does somebody get to 77, 78 years old in their life? And all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, I could have had a V8, man. You know, I finally got the answers. Took me a long time, almost 50 years. But I finally found them when senility has set in. And I'm having trouble articulating my thoughts. It just came to me that I figured it all out. Speeches are, they come from speech writers. I mean, this is who writes the speeches for any presidential candidate or president. In fact, it goes through an army of people who look at these things. This is what they do. Clearly, these are not words that Joe Biden was used. I mean, Joe Biden has a teleprompter in front of him. So his whole job that night is to read the speech, just to read the speech that he was given. I mean, I don't believe for a moment that he wrote that. That was not his feelings. I don't believe that was heartfelt. I didn't get any sense there was any heartfelt aspect to that speech. You know, if you really study and you watch a lot of Biden's speeches over the years, he's a very angry man. You know, we talk about old white men, or at least the media does and the politicians do. This was an old, angry white man. That's what he was. And that's the way he comes across. And you hear that in his delivery, his tone. And the only thing he had to do was to, and that was the whole problem with walking into this thing, is that all he had to do was not pass out and fall on the floor, and it would have been a great success. And we knew that kind of going in. I had said that the other day, in fact, to you. The bar is pretty low, people. It's not like he's going to win some big award for this speech. I mean, the bar is really low. But that's what's happened when, you remember, he's been hidden from any kind of view, certainly the public view, for some time now. I mean, he hasn't been out there at all. So, again, this is all very scripted. Everything about, as I've said to you in past days here, everything about this journey of Joe Biden and the DNC is 1,000% scripted. That is the only chance or shot in hell they ever had, was just to get through the moment. But I mean, if you asked Biden, you know, think for a minute now, if we asked him to and this, we should do this, actually. This should be the rule, the law of the land. Get up in front of the camera, no speech, and deliver us some thoughts and some ideas as to what you believe in America. Tell us what your passion is. What are the biggest problems? How are you going to fix the problems? Don't require any speech, and then have the other candidate do that as well. I mean, a little different than a debate format, but let's make that a requirement. Get them up. So how do you think that would work out, actually, with a Joe Biden delivering his thoughts? Could he articulate those thoughts? Could he articulate the problems and give you the solution and make it all make sense and go from one thought to the next? And then if you had Donald Trump doing that, could he articulate the thoughts? And what would they look like? And I would imagine you know the answer to those two questions. The first one is no, and the second one is yes. Without a doubt. There's not a moment of doubt in my mind. President Trump does that every day. He does that in front of a camera seamlessly. I mean, he does it consistently. It's what he does. He has no problem with it. In fact, he's the most available president we've ever seen in any lifetime, period. He's the most accessible, available president ever. I mean, there's never been anybody like him. I mean, whenever he's, you know, jumping on a plane or a helicopter or something else, he's the first one, goes right up, talks to anybody. And there are no rules with him either. He doesn't give you a whole litany list of rules. Do you think that would happen with Biden? Oh, get out of here. You got to be kidding me. You're talking about a whole new presidency here. You wouldn't even see the man, because his handlers would be running everything. You don't think Joe Biden's going to be in the front of this thing, not for a hot moment. I mean, we all know that. The man is simply not capable. It's not capable. And when you're dealing with the pressures of being a president, I don't believe for a moment that there is any harder job on the planet. I mean, this is a difficult job. This is why, you know, when you see a president, they age so much. You see the president, just look at Barack Obama's and George Bush's, George W. Look at their pictures before and after. And you'll see how much they age so much in that 8 years if they get reelected. It's probably equivalent to them aging 25 or 35 years in their lives. I mean, they age pretty badly, I mean, in that period of time. And I've even noticed Trump lately. He looks like he's this office has been kicking his ass, and full disclosure, I mean, it's the truth. I mean, the man's been through a lot. He's been through a Maytag multi-level washing machine many times over. All compliments of this Democrat, Socialist, Marxist party here, and your lovely media pundits and media outlets. I mean, they have put America through hell over the past 4 years, and certainly have not been fair at all in the administration of number 45. There's no doubt about it. And everything they have been trying to push and say that the sky has fallen and, you know, the president can't, these are all the crises they've pushed and they've been praying for. They've been praying for something to happen, like an asteroid to hit or some catastrophic event of some sort, or a plague coming from China of some sort, or, you know, whatever, or, you know, let's just burn and tear the cities up, praying for something, because everything else has just not been effective. And so, which is why they've been so adamant about locking the economy down and locking everybody up, as silly as that sounds. And it's why they don't want to reopen anything. It's why they want to keep everything locked down. That's been their goal right along. It's to stifle the ingenuity of the American public, and certainly the economy and the jobs. And that's the only purpose it serves. There is no other purpose. I mean, look historically at these kinds of viruses. We've never, ever considered a lockdown of this magnitude. And we've had plenty of these plagues coming out of China before. I mean, you have to go back to 1917, 1918, and 1919. That plague, by the way, went on for about 2 years. 2 years, I think, 3 or 4 months, as I recall. And experts are saying this one's probably a two-year cycle. Takes about 2 years to build that herd immunity up and to get people up over the hurdle on the other side of this thing. But of course, locking people up and wearing masks and doing all that, and that doesn't exactly build herd immunity. We've talked about that before. That doesn't get us over the hurdle any faster. In fact, it slowed things down. Listen, the quarantine should have always been for people who are ill. I don't want anybody to get sick from this thing. Don't want anybody to die from it. And I know people who have died from it. But I mean, if you have pre-existing conditions, or you're elderly, or sometimes we don't really know. I mean, it attacks everybody differently, just like cancer does, just like heart disease does, just like diabetes does, just like the common cold does, the flu. Nothing is guaranteed. There are no guarantees. But yet somehow we treat this COVID thing as something totally unique. Like, you know, it's like somehow it's a major shock and surprise that it operates differently. And it's like they can't get over that point. Yeah, people do die from these kinds of things. People die from all kinds of things. In fact, people have been dying from suicides. That's at a record pace in the past many months. You know, people have been dying from a lot of things, and that's what happens. It's just this common sense. But when you put a spotlight on the amount of deaths from COVID and that there's less deaths in these other areas, I mean, we didn't cure car accidents and cancer and heart disease in the last four, months here, about last 6 months. We didn't cure that, people. But you have less deaths in those areas because, first of all, they've been coding everything to COVID and marketing it to that, so because they get money from it. This is how they make money, all the hospitals and all the medical facilities, they get paid for these things. So what do you think they're going to do when you have a death? And what do you code it to? Do you code it to COVID, or the guy had a heart attack? Well, COVID created the problem, and maybe he had the heart attack as an after effect, you see? Or he had COVID in the system, or his aunt twice, three times removed from, a distant galaxy had COVID. So mark that on his death certificate, please. And send the check through, cha-ching, cha-ching. This is how it operates. This is the real world we're talking about. This is how the whole thing operates. So that people want to, there's not 170,000 that have lost their life from COVID in this country. I don't buy that for a minute. Yet everybody quotes those numbers. It's well going to be over 170,000. It's going to be, it's over 150. It was over 100. They're not real numbers. They're not using real numbers. I mean, some of it's financial, some of it's political, and some of it's just stupidity. But that's where those numbers have escalated from, and I don't buy them for a minute. I mean, some people, it is legit, just as anything's legit. Nothing is absolute. I mean, everybody's got to understand that. Yet everybody tries to get everything to be absolute. It's not absolute, man. It's a disease like any other. I mean, yeah, there's some weirdness to it and stuff, but, there's a lot of strange things out there, people. A lot of things we still don't know about our health and our bodies. I mean, we all are interested in the marvel of the human body, in fact, I talk about that more. I got a special program I'm doing next week for you on that, the marvel of the human body and where we all fit in the big scope of the universe and bringing science into it and so many other factors. It is interesting. I do believe we are all walking miracles. I absolutely believe. It's the way I look at life. I think the whole universe and our existence and being in it is a miracle. It's also going to be a miracle and a horror show if Biden comes anywhere close to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I will tell you that much. So the fight is on to make sure that does not happen. Let's hear from him himself so you can hear his tone and his everything about him, his delivery, the modulation he uses, and what your perspective of it is. It's pretty quick, it's like a few minutes or so, and this is him now delivering his speech.
The current president has cloaked American darkness for much too long. Too much anger, too much fear, too much division. Here and now, I give you my word. If you entrust me with the presidency, I will draw on the best of us, not the worst. I'll be an ally of the light, not the darkness. It's time for us, for we the people, to come together. And make no mistake, united we can and will overcome this season of darkness in America. This is not a partisan moment. This must be an American moment. It's a moment that calls for hope and light and love, hope for our future, light to see our way forward, and love for one another. four historic crises, all at the same time. A perfect storm. The worst pandemic in over 100 years. The worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. The most compelling call for racial justice since the 60s. And the undeniable realities and just the accelerating threats of climate change. Together, we can and will rebuild our economy. And when we do, we'll not only build back, we'll build back better. With modern roads, bridges, highways, broadband, ports and airports as a new foundation for economic growth, with pipes to transport clean water to every community, with 5 million new manufacturing and technology jobs so the future is made in America, with a healthcare system that lowers premiums, deductibles, drug prices, by building on the Affordable Care Act he's trying to rip away, with an education system that trains our people for the best jobs of the 21st century. There's not a single thing American workers can't do. And where cost doesn't prevent young people from going to college and student debt doesn't crush them when they get out. With a child care and elder care system that makes it possible for parents to go to work and for the elderly to stay in their homes with dignity. With an immigration system that powers our economy and reflects our values. The Irish poet Seamus Heaney once wrote, "History says, don't hope on this side of the grave, but then, once in a lifetime, the longed-for tidal wave of justice can rise up and hope and history rhyme. This is our moment to make hope and history rhyme. With passion and purpose, let us begin, you and I together, one nation, under God, united in our love for America, united in our love for each other. For love is more powerful than hate. Hope is more powerful than fear. And light is more powerful than dark. This is our moment. This is our mission. May history be able to say that the end of this chapter of American darkness began here tonight. As love and hope and light join in the battle for the soul of the nation. And this is a battle we will win, and we'll do it together. I promise you. Thank you, and may God bless you, and may God protect our troops. Good night."
Too much anger, he says. Dark darkness. He talked a lot about darkness, actually. But the darkness, of course, is all of these challenges that the country is facing. Darkness can be defined many different ways, and clearly a nation that is struggling and a people that are struggling, yeah, that would be some level of darkness. But the darkness was not part of what President Trump was doing and delivered. This is not reflective of this administration. Quite the contrary. This administration he's been one of the most positive, upbeat presidents we've ever seen. You cannot say this president mirrors or measures any level of darkness. You've never seen him speak to the American people in such a way where it's all doom and gloom and dark. He's an optimist. He's an optimist. Far more. In fact, I would certainly argue tooth and nail with you, he is far more an optimist than Joe Biden ever was. Biden says, this is not a partisan moment. You gotta be kidding me, right? You gotta be kidding me. You do everything partisan over the last almost 4 years now. There's nothing you folks have done on the left that wasn't partisan. Partisan is what defines you. You played partisan with everything, including this historical impeachment. That was clearly partisan. Kavanaugh. Trying to make sure Kavanaugh got to the Supreme Court. Very qualified Supreme Court justice. That was partisan. Everything you've done, the whole collusion thing and the everything about that tackle in this president was indeed partisan. And so when Biden says this is not a partisan moment, why would anybody believe that? Why all of a sudden would everything be fine and nothing be partisan? Why do you think all of a sudden America would believe you got to the election and all of a sudden you wanted to now play for America and not for your party? Does anybody really believe that? Does anybody believe that you know, that they've been fair all the way through and that this is not a partisan moment. But again, this is a speechwriter writing the speech. And so he's just delivering the words. This isn't his gut. It's not his heart. There was no heart talking here. There was no soul gut talking. There was no Biden here. This was a speechwriter. He opened up his mouth and he did what he always does. He delivers an angry speech because that's where the Democrats come from. They hate America, and I believe that. They certainly hate our America. I mean, come on. I mean, so I don't have a problem saying that. I know that can sound rough to some people, but I do believe they hate America, certainly this America. They have fought against this America. You know, I mean, they've done that from moment one and continue to do it. They fought against everything. They fight against everything that means America. They fight about the wall and the immigration policies and the sanctuary cities and the homelessness and even things as simple as, you know, standing and putting your hand on your heart and saluting the flag. Everything is a controversy to the left, to the socialist Marxists. And then they want to get up there and say, well, everything's bright in the city and we're not playing partisan. He finishes that and says, this must be an American moment. Well, that and Martin Parcell is the problem. There are two Americas here. My fellow Americans, you need to understand there are two Americas we're talking about here and we're discussing. You have to know that first. Two Americas. It's that proverbial fork in the road here that happens, you see. I mean, their version of an American moment is warped. It's a Marxist American moment that they're looking for. I mean, they're not looking at the same America moment we are. And then Biden calls for hope. We've been down that hope road before, Mr. Biden. We've done the hope thing, and we had somebody did try to change us one time. I think he put it under the caliber of hope and change. Fact is, I think you might have even been part of that. I remember when Barack Obama took office there, you know, in 2009, and it was frightening for patriots. It was frightening for many Americans. And I had spoke to people who ended up being in his administration. In fact, I had dinner with a couple of them while the election was going on. And people I've known for many years, friends, and they became ambassadors for the administration. And they were excited about Barack Obama. Of course, historically, when you looked at this man and his history, his past, there wasn't much to be excited about for a patriot and certainly for a conservative American. He had a dark, deep past of Marxism and where he comes from and the way he was raised and his believers and who surrounded him, who made his thoughts. You know, we all are a product of our thoughts and the people we hang with. The people we hang with, when you're hanging around people like Jeremiah Wright, I mean, come on, it's the people, we all are a product or a piece of the people we hang with. And clearly Barack Obama was not hanging with some of the best people. But I remember that some of the rallies he had outside, he really mesmerized America in ways that I simply could not understand or figure out. A lot of people called Obama a gifted speaker, a gifted communicator, a great orator of facts. I just never seen that. I just didn't see that for me. He would make my skin crawl when he talked and his speeches, and I fought against him. It's when I made the convergence actually from the boardrooms to the microphone, and I was on a lot of radio networks every day across our great country. I would speak quite a bit on networks, radio networks now, just prior to America Out Loud. I enjoyed doing it, getting a lot of the morning drives and afternoon drives and throughout the day. And sometimes they'd put me on the left-wing liberal shows like Tom Hartman and other lunatics. And, you know, the media, it's all games and entertainment to them. They just want to make an ass out of you, you know. But I did that for many years. And I remember that moment with Obama coming to power. He scared the hell out of many of us. And I remember the outside rallies, his version of a rally, his speeches. The one he did in Chicago was frightening as hell. And you kind of felt almost like, how would I describe it to you? Honestly, sincerely, It almost felt to me, it certainly was an out-of-body experience, but it kind of felt to me, personally, like a third-world dictator had taken over our country. And that's the feeling and the sense I had from the Barack Obama presidency. Now, this is after a presidency before him that I was not fond of, George W. I don't play partisan politics, people. I play for America. I don't play Republican, Democrat. As you very seldom do you hear me say the word Republican or say to you, let's all become Republicans today. You don't hear me talk that way, do you now? I talk about becoming a conservative, patriotic America. That's what you hear me talking about consistently. Just rewind the tape and see. Now, there's a reason for that, because I think corruptness is on both sides of that aisle, quite frankly. Sometimes it's the lesser of evils, and we're faced with that a lot, actually, in elections, historically, where we have to make the decision of the lesser of evils. It kind of sucks when you get to that point of a race, and certainly a presidential race, where you have to choose the lesser of evils. This is not one of those now at all, to me, whatsoever. There's no lesser of evils. This is just the fight of good versus evil. That's what this election in 2020 is. The socialist Marxist Biden or the God-sent Donald Trump. I mean, that's the way it is. It's cut and dry to me. And whether Trump is a Republican, independent, he represents the good. Now, that's what I see. Can only call it as I see it. For the first time, we had this sense that there was a Marxist in the White House. We felt that. We absolutely felt that. Looking historically again at his history and his past and understanding where we were in the moment, and then you begin to look at the people he surrounded himself with. Just look at the kinds of people he put in his administration and his right hands, just his right hands in that Obama administration. We'll tell you plenty. Not to go down that road, but he put more Muslims in positions of power in the White House than ever, historically, than we had ever had before. He had planted a lot of bad seeds throughout our government. In fact, that's why the Trump administration has had such a hard time. There's been an incredible amount of leaks, an incredible amount of problems in the last many years with Trump. You've seen that. That's been one of the biggest problems. All these leaks with anonymous sources going out to the media. And the media are always glad to embellish all of that. Whatever, and make up, shit as they went, as anonymous, never knowing really what the deal was. But they were all too happy to do that. And it's hard sometimes to figure out this fourth estate and why they have such, why they are a lover of such Marxist belief system and why they've become such socialists themselves, not understanding that they will be the first to go if it takes more root in this nation. It's already very dangerous where we find ourselves right now. So this whole thing about hope, he called for hope. Our message, the American people's message to Joe Biden should be, well, we don't want hope, Mr. Former Vice President. We don't want that kind of hope. And we've done the hope and change thing with your administration already with Obama Biden. Why would we give you the powers, the reins of power back for another chapter of hope? Don't need it. And I think one of the most interesting things is his four historical crises. This is what really gets me wound up now. What he called the perfect storm. The perfect storm. And so we now have the perfect storm. And this really rubs me now, where they throw this out there and they want to talk about the four historical crises and where America finds itself. Well, I'll tell you more about that perfect storm just after the pause.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
What if a new treatment, backed by 17,000 scientific articles, was proven to extend our lifespan, protect against terrible diseases like cancer, heart disease, and dementia, make us more attractive and thinner, feel calmer and happier, and boost energy levels, memory, and performance? What would you pay for even the smallest dose of this treatment? Well, the good news is you don't have to pay anything, because these are just some of the benefits of a full night of quality sleep. If you're one of the millions of Americans who need better quality sleep, the time to change is now. Until now, most sleep aids haven't worked, but a new, easy-to-swallow sleep gel, invented by the leading nutrition company, Healthy Cell, is designed to support all four stages of human sleep to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake up refreshed. It's called REM Sleep. To get a free two-night supply of REM Sleep, visit healthycell.com/sleep. That's healthy, CELL.com/sleep.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Well, Joe Biden formally accepts the Democrat Party's nomination for president, and a 25-minute speech that the media called passionate and that they were highly engaged with. A lot of the remarks coming out of the media were frightening, to say the least, but not surprising when all he had to do was keep standing on his feet and walk off of there, and it was going to be a major success. And they all said that. Everybody has went down, has said that. Even Brett Baer comes out and he praised Biden as the best he's been. This particular speech, which to me was a very dark, sad state of affairs and a horrible speech, which I did, in fact, send a message out and said exactly that. Joe Biden's speech was a train wreck. And for pundits to say otherwise is a desperate joke. I obviously live on another planet. I see nothing about the hashtag Biden speech that was inspirational or effective. He sounded like an angry old man, robotic, overly scripted, and desperate. That's what I got out of it. That's exactly what I got out of it. What did you get out of it? You know, you get the same thing, or you find something different out there. Those four historical crises, he's the perfect storm he talks about. Now, this really is the laughing stock of all of it. I mean, this is really something else. This perfect storm is what the Socialist Marxist Democrat Party of America created, complements of part of the crises of China. You know, it's that. So that's all that package there. Okay. So he talks about the worst pandemic in over 100 years, as we've discussed many times. Complements again of China, which is why the president, Trump, continues to say things are not good with China right now. I mean, they could have stopped this easily. They could have saved the world and prevented this catastrophe. They could have saved a lot of lives worldwide, without a doubt. And a lot of people who would have had an extended life, at least, who may not have been in perfect health or situation, or somehow where the virus just attacked their body in a different way. I mean, truth be told, we don't really know, people. Nothing is absolute, as I say. So even though the experts want to tell you that, it's not. And nor is this virus absolute. But yeah, you know, the pandemic that they have been praying for, this is their asteroid to hit. They needed an asteroid to take something out. This was it right here. Something to bring us to our knees. How else are you going to bring it down an economy? How else are you going to bring down this success and the mighty strength of the American economy? And how are you going to cripple the United States? How else are you going to do it? What are you going to do? What other tricks do you have up your bag? You can't impeach them right away, right? I mean, at least you got to wait a year or two before you do the next rounds of impeachment, you know, get them to the second term. Then you try the impeachment thing again because of something else you didn't like. I mean, you can't. You know, it's hard. You know, the American people are not going to support an immediate impeachment. But, you know, hopefully they won't agree to any of it. But you see what I mean? The whole idea in the media of this. What are they going to do? What are you going to do? I mean, you already played the Russian card. You played the collusion card. You played the Ukraine card. You played the mentally deranged card. You played the sex card. You played the attorney card. You played the impeachment card, the bad phone calls, you know, with the impeachment card. It's a poker game. At some point in the poker game, you run out. Your chips are gone. You're screwed. The game is over. And then Mad Sally comes in and wants the pay up. Come on there, fella. Pay up, right? Mad Sally. Wow. And so the card to play was, let's lock America up. I got an idea. We'll send fake Fauci in there with his frickin' frack with Burks, and we'll lock the nation up. Oh, that's an idea. Perfect. You think we can pull this off, Fritz? Sure. Marge, we can pull this off. We'll just lock everything up. We'll even lock the dog park in the neighborhood and lock the sports down. We'll lock everything. Restaurants, let's just lock it all down. Screw it. We'll just lock everybody up, and we'll tell them to wear, we won't tell them to wear a mask at first, and then we'll confuse the hell out of them, and then tell them to wear a mask, and we'll say the vaccine is the panacea that's going to save everybody's life. And that's the card we'll play. That's the card we'll play in hopes that it will decimate the Trump economy and leave the historical nature of the Trump economy in the rearview mirror. Because as we know, Americans have a short attention span and pretty much no patience for bullshit. Okay. So we'll hope and play on that. That'll be the hope part of the campaign. The hope and change will be hope and play, we'll call it now. So the new campaign for them will be hope and play. From hope and change to hope and play, or maybe hope and pray. Hope and pray. I like that better. Hope and pray. Hope and pray the creek don't rise, right? So that's that pandemic. That was the asteroid to hit that they were praying for right there. That's one of his four historical crises. Need another crisis so he can play against the, you know. Game was getting a little jury at that point. So the next one is a beaut, the next historical crisis, he says. It's the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. That's another part of the perfect storm. Yeah, you want to take that one, or would you like me to? Yeah, it's an economic crisis, all right. This is why Biden's got to be the president next, so we can get back to that meager growth that we enjoyed under Obama and Biden, like we were standing still some days and going reverse on other days. Give me a break. Who the hell is buying this? I mean, people with an IQ in the 40s and 50s? The mentally deranged? Who exactly is buying this? The worst again. No kidding, Marge. The worst economic crisis since the Great. You locked shit up everywhere. I mean, you locked the whole economy down. You froze everything, and then you tried to bribe them with a check. And then people counted on other checks that they never got. And then you made everybody sit home because you gave the unemployed more money than they possibly needed so they wouldn't go back to work. So that was the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. So they create the economic crisis. And then you've seen the struggle of blue states and red states. And the blue states, this becomes like a Dr. Seuss game now. You know, blue state, red state, blue, you know, that's what this is. It's a Dr. Seuss game, you know. Well, and we can write a book about it, in fact. Well, the blue state didn't want to open, but the red state said open, you know. And so you had all the blue states and these crazy Marxist mayors, these lunatics from sea to shining sea, that are now opening up the cities and, you know, just saying, come burn our buildings down and just destroy the place. And we won't send the cops in because we're going to defund and abolish them. That's another that's coming up in a minute. I'm jumping ahead here, but that's the next crisis is coming to give you a window into that one, right? But this Great Depression, I just love the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. Oh my God. And all this happened on President Trump's watch. How dare he? As they push all, and we knew when that was happening, everybody knew that the blue states did not want to open up. Everybody knew that they were going to play those cards accordingly. Everybody knew what was happening here. Perhaps some people didn't figure it out. Maybe they weren't bright enough. But I tell you, the vast majority of Americans understood what was going on with the blue state, red state, Dr. Seuss strategy of how to sink a campaign, an election, and stretch out a pandemic. That was the name of the game. The decision to come with medical experts, and I put my fingers up in quotes when we say medical experts, okay, of all of these characters, and there are plenty below the radar screen as well. It's not just fake Fauci and Birx there, but it goes beyond that. And for them to suggest that locking us down was the answer forward will go down as one of the worst decisions that has ever been made in our nation. And I knew it the moment they made it. But do you remember how they sold it at first to the nation? It was like a wink, wink, and a nod, nod. We're only going to do this for a couple of weeks just so we can, you know, get ahead of that curve. We're going to flatten the curve. Flatten the curve. And to that, the people in the left balcony, all wearing blue, were doing a wave around a, yes, flatten the curve, woo! And, you know, flatten the curve. That was their opportunity now. So they all agreed with the medical expertise to flatten the curve. That's where the story started, you see? Okay. And that was for 2 weeks, just 2 weeks, America. Suck it up, tighten your belt, deal with it, and we'll get through this together. It's the together story. And we'll get to the other side and everything will be fine. But that 2 weeks, my friends, we blew by that 2 weeks and nothingness, and went right on beyond that. And we were putting the nation in a very precarious point. So naturally, the economic crises and since the Great Depression would be because it was self-induced. It was bought on by these medical experts and the political operatives who decided that was the path forward. I believe in his heart, I believe the president knew this was not going to be the right. You could tell he knew this was dangerous as hell. But I think they put him in a corner and squeezed the hell out of the situation. He succumbed to the power brokers around him. I think it's a decision that we will regret in years ahead. I have to call it as I see it, my fellow Americans, and that's what I really believe. You know, that's the second crisis. The third one is the most compelling call for racial injustice since the 60s. Again, this is all compliments of the Socialist Marxist group and the Socialist Marxist party and their groups that they partner with, such as the Antifa fascist group and the Black Lives Matter groups and the rest of the radicals, and then just domestic crime will also do, you know, get all your brutes and your evil people out there. What they did is they all combined forces to really tear the cities apart. And they were successful in doing that, creating all kinds of television moments for the crisis to be compelling, which is what Biden calls it, the most compelling call. Yeah, it's compelling because they wanted it to be compelling. You know, so then it was the war on cops, and then they played to the Marxist tune to defund and abolish the police. And it becomes a very, very ugly, slippery slope we're on now, as they do this in a widespread manner all across our nation and all of our big cities. And many of them started to become unglued, and many on the West Coast and Seattle and Portland, but also in cities everywhere. I mean, Chicago's had their massive problem. New York is a mess, but even smaller markets like Charleston and markets like Miami. There are plenty of other markets that are having a lot of problems with it, but they're just not reported on because there's too many of them. Colorado, a lot of cities in these states, like Colorado, that are having problems. I'm telling you, it's not just the cities you hear about in the 6 o'clock news or the fake media. There's tons of others. I've interviewed some of those people. I've talked to them, and I know they're right. It's a widespread problem. Our cities in America are in great need, great desire, great need, and they're in a horrible situation. I don't know if we ever get the cities back anytime soon or what it's going to take to rebuild those. And of course, Biden talked about infrastructure. We'll talk about that in a moment here. So his fourth historical crisis after the racial injustice and the Floyd moment, tapping into that as a real opportunity to show that things are really bad. Because then you ask yourself the obvious question in a general election always is, are you better off right now than you were 4 years ago? Well, America right this moment is hurting. It's bleeding. It's crying for help. So nobody can really answer the question in a positive mode, that whatever your political stripe is, and you know, unless you run a ventilator manufacturing company or mask company or are in bed with China in some capacity and somehow you become a multi-gazillionaire overnight, you couldn't possibly say that, yeah, things are doing swell in the city and things are far better off today than they were back then. Nobody's going to say that. Americans are not going to. That's why you play on the whole, we need a new level and version of hope. We need to create the remedy for the perfect storm. We need to combat these historical crises that have happened on number 45's watch. That they don't ever tell you the footnotes that they created them, that they partnered with the bad players, whether it's the Antifa, the Black Lives Matter, China. They are happy to empower themselves. See, they partner with evil. The Democrat Party, which has become totally evil, has partnered with the evil forces that I just described to you. You understand? That's what's taking place here. That's what's taking place. And that's what we have. We have a recipe now for a disaster. But this is the cards you play when they wanted to, seek the power and attempt to remove Donald Trump. And there are a lot of reasons why that is. It's nothing to do with loving America. They hate America. It's not a damn thing. They don't care two bits for what's going on there. It has to do with the aversion of America, which was slipping away from them with, again, the nomination of all these judges within the lower courts and with the Supreme Court, that President Trump was very successful with. I keep going back to that because I think that's pretty much the core reason why the left was having a shit fit as far as what was taking place here. I believe you're going to find that's one of the biggest, if not the biggest, singular reason. They were losing their grip and losing their power. You see, when you lose the courts, you begin to lose the power because they're not going to be there to back you up. You got to remember how much the 9th District Court played with the left policies. And then, you know, they supported all these left policies. They legislated from the bench. And then Chief Justice John Roberts, who is a real fun, just a real inspiration for every conservative American patriot everywhere, became part of the bigger problem out there. And now you see where all these policies are being shot down. This also added to a lot of the calamities in the last 4 years with all these cases where all the energy and all the might and all the money and all the effort that Trump administration would have to put in to fight these cases, not once, but twice and three times and four times and appeal them and repeal them and appeal them and repeal them and appeal them and back and forth and they win, they lose, they win. Oh, my fellow Americans, your head will spin. We've been covering this for 4 years now, and it is just a picture of doom and gloom. And as I stated to you yesterday, the sooner we can get these Marxists the hell out of our paradise, the better off we're going to be as a nation. The sooner we give them their tickets to their form of paradise, the sooner and the better off we are going to be as a nation. There is no two ways about it. They are never coming together. This whole notion of Obama and Biden, well, Biden now, and others talking about uniting America, get out of here. There is nothing to unite. You're not going to get, there's nothing to unite. And that sounds pretty bold and bleak, and not nice probably as a patriot, but there is nothing to unite. When you have one side reaching for the fence the way they are with Marxist policies and the kind of lifestyle that they're looking for, what would there be to unite with people? How would we create that that unifying message? What the hell does that look like? I mean, listen, I'm an advertising marketing brain and I couldn't come up with that one. I mean, how do you unite that? How do you unite American patriots and people who love our country with these people who just piss all over the flag and just, it's a joke. I mean, it's the simple possible thing, the simple thing that a patriot American who loves their country would request. Stand for the flag and put your hand on your heart. And I mean, you know, it's not corny. It's not funny. It's not, I mean, it's, we're patriots. This is a beautiful nation. We're blessed. What's so hard about asking for that? Tell me what's difficult about that. Why can't you people get off your knees and get off your asses and stand for something that matters? Why? Why? Oh, so something, you know, just so you insult our history, you insult our military, our law enforcement, our way of life, our patriotism. For what, you know? Yeah, so then you want to send me unite. Unite what? What do you want to unite? What? Where do you start? I mean, there's not much to unite with. Let's get them out of here, you know? I mean, come on, people. That's an unfortunate reality that I hate and that I've had to come to realize now is this unfortunate reality. It sucks, you know? And the last one on the historical crises is pathetic, and it's not worth our time, but I will tell you. And that is the undeniable realities accelerating threats of climate change. And let's not bore ourselves with all of that nonsense of, you know, climate change, but that's the next one. You know, it's just they pad themselves and they get rich and they feed that club, you know. And then the worst part about it, he goes on and says, we'll build our economy back better. You didn't do good job. That you haven't done a good job in 47, 50 years, Joe Biden. Why would you do a job now? You certainly didn't do anything when you had the reins with Obama in those 8 years. And why would you do it now? Who do you think you're talking to? You think we're stupid? I mean, build our economy back better. Highways, roads, bridges, broadbands, all the stuff you should have done to begin with. The infrastructure has gone to hell because Congress is inept, you know? And I love, with 5 million new manufacturing jobs and technology jobs, so the future is made in America. Oh, so these are the jobs that you were sending off to China. Is that the concept, Joe Biden? Now all of a sudden it's important to bring them back as you kill the energy sector as well. We're now energy independent, but you want to stop all of that, right? And then you end it with one nation under God. That's the ending part of the speech. You heard that, one nation under God. We're going to be one. We're going to hold hands now and sing Kumbaya. That's his appeal now to the Americans, Christianity, to the evangelicals, really, who care that somehow, oh, okay, well, he wants to, you know, one nation under God. Well, let's just vote for Biden now. I mean, they pulled God out of everything. You can't have a manger scene today without being shot in the boulevard. God's out of the school. God's out of everything. But, okay. Oh, okay. So the speech, that really beautiful speech that Chris Wallace talked about in Brett Beale is so fabulous. Now it's one nation. Yeah, we're going to unite now. We'll unite under the Marxist flag. And what God is that again you're celebrating and you're going to pray to? Remind me, please, just so I know. What God again is that? Because, you know, we have one God over here in the Christian world, but we're not sure what kind of God you're talking about. Well, it's a moment for the nation to look into their soul, and it's a reality moment. It's a reality where truth will need to prevail, my fellow Americans, and where you're going to have to look beyond all of these fake, phony speeches from everybody. And you're going to have to look, when nobody was looking, what did these candidates do? When nobody was looking, what did President Trump do? Did he honor his campaign pledges, his promises? Did he do that? Did he do that? Did he honor our flag? Is he a patriot? Does he do the best that you think he's doing for America? Does he call people on the coals when they screw up? What kind of a man is he? Ask yourself those simple questions and then look at Joe Biden and ask the same questions. You see, you get into the soul of the man, the heart and soul of a nation. Right? I mean, isn't that what it is we should be doing? I mean, shouldn't we look at the heart and soul of the man? Isn't that what it's all about at the end of the day, people? Not the speech writers and the rest of it, but are they capable of delivering? Can they deliver what they promise? You know, my fellow Americans, our constitutional republic is indeed being torn apart. Our voices are absolutely being censored, in some cases suppressed and denied on mainstream media and social media everywhere. Our public expression of patriotism has been ridiculed, criticized. It's been ostracized and physically attacked. And this is why the silent majority, they don't want to be blinded, shackled, and gagged. They want their voices to be heard. And so I tell you again, We need to take on the challenges of our generation so we can preserve future generations. It is time, once again, as I say on this program at the top, it's time once again, my fellow Americans, to reclaim our honor, our soul. Now, our job is to choose liberty. Thank you, my fellow Americans, for being with me this week and for listening to all the programs and the coverage. A lot happening next week, a lot of great programming coming to you from America Out Loud and certainly from my voice and my program. It is a mission. It is a mission of a lifetime, and it's a mission that is calling all of us to action. It's time to get involved and get loud.